Hey guys, this is Danny McDermott from The Danny McDermott Show. If you want to see our show live, it's every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Trust me, you want to see it then. You'll see all the screw-ups. It's great. Our show is an adult show, I must admit, but that's only because we're childish. Most of the guests that we have on the show are my friends, so you can just watch us hang out as buddies. It's fun. Just chill, relax, enjoy.
Hey, Danny.
Almost. Here we go. We're live. Now that's an intro. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. I'm Danny McDermott, and this is my co-host, Kevin Fitzgerald. Say hello, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
No, okay, you're really going to try to do that cheesy stuff at the beginning. This broadcast was supposed to be perfect. You just messed the whole thing up, Kevin. You're fired again. Okay. Dude, it's been crazy. It's been insane.
Well, you got your power back.
I got the power back. The first two shows, I was hoping they were going to be perfect. You know, the first one I thought was perfect. And then I looked at the footage afterwards. And like me, the host of the show has the worst video. It's like the Wi-Fi was giving crap video. I was like pausing, pixelated, like, you know, it was crazy. Then the next one, I'm like, all right, we're ready for this one. This one's going to be great. A 20-minute storm knocked out power to 135,000 homes, including this one. We were right in the middle. And so I had to go to the local pub and do it on their Wi-Fi. Not, it doesn't sound right when I say do it on their Wi-Fi. Do the show during their Wi-Fi. It was insane. And then I got kicked off a few times too. So this is the show. Cross your fingers. This is going to be the show that everything goes right. Right, Kevin?
I'm ready.
I mean, dude, it was close for the show. I got to be honest. I was on the toilet right up till 5 minutes ago. Well, you can't let me eat a big meal, Kevin, right before the show. You got to remind me of these things.
I bet you feel better.
Yeah, well, kind of. I just hope I don't have to go again in the middle of the show. Next time, you got to text me. You got to call me. You got to remind me of this stuff, Kevin.
We got to get that on your calendar.
How was your week?
Not bad. We had power the whole time, you know.
I got to turn off the Facebook. People are messaging me, and you guys are hearing the bleeps. Okay, hopefully that did it. So what happened? What happened with your week? How you doing?
Had power the whole time.
That was your week.
Everything, absolutely.
Kevin, you're supposed to have stuff to talk about. I can't do it all, Kevin. I can't do it all.
You had the power this week.
Oh, man. It's been tough. I was running around. I started working again today. Oh, man. So what do you say? You want to do one of our segments? Let's get right into that.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, what do you say? Huh? All right, let's do. Now, I just threw all this stuff on here today. I'm engineering it myself. Eventually, we're going to have someone do it. Kevin can't. I don't know why. But eventually, we're going to have someone helping. But here we go. We're going to start out with
failed original song titles. Ow!
Okay, so we came up with this idea called failed original song titles. It's started out, we were thinking about songs that people didn't that people would like would sing, and then they'd sing the wrong lyrics. But then we were like, you know what? Why don't we talk about the original song title before the actual song was named what it is today? And you know those ones that they thought were great and they argued about, and then they finally came up with the perfect title, right? Right, Kevin? You can just say yeah sometimes. You know, any words that could come out of your mouth would help. Some kind of affirmative thing to what I'm saying.
Excellent, Danny.
Okay, thank you. That's all I'm asking for, Kevin. Okay, so the first one. What's the name of the song? WAP or WAP?
It's.
Okay, Wet Asked You Know What. The original song title was Can I Borrow a Mop? I don't know which is worse, to be honest with you. I think both of them, I guess the abbreviation makes it better, you know. Wet ass peep, you know, whatever. All right, let's go to the next one. This one's good. I like this one. David Lee Roth's cover of I'm Just a Gigolo, a lot of people don't know this, was originally I'm Just a Hairy Acrobatic Guy from the San Fernando Valley. That
I think they should have stayed with that one. I think that one was a mistake.
Oh, man. That's actually really good. I like that one a lot. I'm just a hairy acrobatic guy from the San Gabriel Valley. I'm just an acrobatic guy from the San Diego Valley, and everywhere I go. I mean, how's he going to sing that? Terrible title. Terrible. All right, we'll go to the next one here. You can see it on the bottom, guys, on the banner. Everybody Hurts was originally I See You're Still a Jackass, Margaret. I don't even know what that means.
Margaret Dodge won there.
Huh? Are we talking about Margaret Thatcher? What are we talking about here? Who's the Margaret and why? Okay. Explain. You got to explain this to me, seriously. Because, you know, when we came up with this in the writers' meeting, everybody laughed, but I still don't know why. What is funny about this? What made you come up with this? What is the reasoning behind this one?
Well, it's just taking something that's universal, like everybody, and blaming it on Margaret. You know, that's the whole
right
idea.
All right. It would help if everybody knew who Margaret was. I'm just saying.
Everybody does. Everybody's got their own Margaret.
All right. Here's another one. I think you wrote this one, too. You Can't Always Get What You Want was originally, Damn, My Dealer Has Been Busted Again.
That's self-explanatory.
Oh, man. Can you imagine if the band really originally thought that? Okay. Here, we got a couple really funny ones coming up now. Here we go. Bohemian Rhapsody was originally Rainbow Mustache. Oh my God, can you imagine? That one works because they never sing the words Bohemian Rhapsody in the song.
You could really still make the change if you think about it.
Right?
You could. You could do that tomorrow. Let's start a petition.
Let's do it. All right. This is a good one. You wrote this one. YMCA was originally LHTB. Less Homophobic Turkish Bath. LHTB.
That's why they had to change it.
It's those
letters on the dance floor.
Right? Do they have dance floors at Turkish baths?
I would imagine on Saturday night if you stay late enough.
All right, everybody on the top floor. Yeah.
Stole number six.
All right, and the last failed song title. Ladies and gentlemen, Love Shack used to be called Pound Porch. That is awesome.
That is
awesome.
It is.
So, yeah, so this is the show, guys. We're going to be doing some fun stuff here. We got a guest tonight who is a friend of mine. She's amazing. We're going to be bringing her on in a little bit. You know, we didn't really plan anything else, Kevin. So you're going to have to do something right now.
Yeah, I kept reaching out to you and you didn't have any power. Every time I had a good idea, I was like, I got to get this to Danny.
Oh my God, dude. I don't know what we're going to do. What are we seriously in this day and age, we can't do stand up now. We can't, you know, all we can do is write and stuff. I'm on, this is funny. I look like I'm in a mansion, but I'm actually in, on a porch, and, I'm going to show you something here. Okay. It looks like I'm in this beautiful mansion, but, oh, wait, no. I'm on a brick wall. No. No, wait, I'm in a digital studio. And look, you see the mess. See, look at this. It's not even, I got to line this up. This is terrible, Kevin. Kevin, why aren't you here helping me? There we go. That's pretty cool. I like that. What do you think?
Not bad. You should get the fans to vote.
Yeah. Actually, anybody out there who has a good background for me that they think would work good for the show, we'll have a little contest. We'll have a little giveaway or something. How's that sound, Kevin?
Sounds like a great idea.
Sounds like we whoever comes up with a good background for me gets we'll send you a free pair of Kevin's underpants.
Okay. It's sure to pack them in.
Kevin.
Not for the first time.
You gotta wash them first, okay, Kevin?
Oh, that takes away
the soup. You gotta have the unless they want them that way. You know what I mean?
That gets creepy for me then.
Really? Does it?
Oh yeah. No, first it starts out creepy.
You're pretty creepy.
It's really creepy. It does.
It's hard for me to imagine something being too creepy for you.
Well,
I mean, look at you. You're in a paneled basement, Kevin.
You know, it's like it's like your own Moby Dick. It's out there. You know, and you know it's out there.
Dude, seriously, where are you right now? What is that room?
I am in the basement.
See? Paneled basement.
I'm in the compound.
Do you have any bodies back there or anything?
No comment. And I might want to point out, nobody mentioned the crawl space at all. Never even came up.
All right, let's do another. We got a couple more segments here I want to do. These are really fun segments. And it, by the way, if anybody comes up with segments, feel free to send them in. I got to look at comments. Jeez, I keep forgetting to look at the comments.
If you send in a winning segment, you get a pair of Danny's socks.
There you go. There's underwear and socks on the line, folks. Underwear and socks. We got a lot of comments already.
It's winter. Underwear and socks are popular.
Robert says hard pass on winning Kevin's underwear.
I don't blame you, Robert. Thank you.
Oh, come on. It's free underwear. It's free. I mean, it's used, but you know, it's free. Why not?
Gently used.
Somebody suggested using a curtain as a backdrop.
Okay.
But it's more fun. I got the green screen. I can have anything in the world. So all you got to do, by the way, to give me the back, I guess I should have explained that. This is going to be a giveaway. We'll figure out what we're going to give away. But whoever comes up with the best background for the show, or we may have a few backgrounds for the show. If you do, all it has to be is a picture, a good picture that I can put behind me with a green screen. We'll send you something. We'll figure it out. We'll send you some. I got some leftovers in the fridge. I could send them. You think that would be good?
There would probably be a step up from underwear or socks. Meatloaf is pretty good leftover. You know,
it would be a little bit better, right? You know,
good.
We could send a donut in an envelope. How about that? Yeah,
that's a great idea.
I don't think people think that's really a great idea, but okay. All right, now we're going to go to our second segment. Oh, this is a funny one. You know what? I almost want to play this segment with Preeti when she's on. so she can help guess. I think I want to save that one.
Okay.
That's a good idea, right? Yeah.
I've heard better. I'm just kidding. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's save that one because, and we'll bring her on a little early just to do that segment.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. So let's do this segment instead. Ready for this? So failed holidays. I still got that comment up. I got to take that down. See, this is why I need an engineer.
You do.
I do. There it is. Okay. I found it because these comments are going really fast and there's a lot of them. Okay. Oh, we can give away sanitizer. That's a good idea. Sanitizer. Yeah. All right. Sorry. We just did the intro for the segment. Don't let me get distracted, Kevin.
Focus, baby. Focus.
Okay. Failed holidays. So now this segment is about holidays that people have tried to create in the past, but for one reason or another, it was decided that against, you know, people decided against it in holiday court. So that's in my movie, by the way, one of my movies. Okay, so the first one, here we go. First failed holiday. Wake a hibernating bear day, April 2nd. Yeah, I can see why that would yeah. That might not be a good holiday.
Gallbladder Thursday day, April 3rd.
What?
Gallbladder surgery day, April 3rd.
Yeah, right?
If you're lucky.
It should be like organ transplant day. Because the bear, I think the guy who tried to push this holiday was mauled by a bear, I think, actually.
That's maybe it was almost always how
it was. You wasn't it, Kevin?
No.
Oh, that's right. It was you dressed in a bear suit trying to act like the hibernating bear.
I was actually sleeping and a bear tapped me on the shoulders like, listen, pal, you got another 6 days tops and I need you out.
So it was before he went to hibernate. You were in his space.
Like a timeshare.
That's why you never have a bear as a roommate. That's
a bed. They sleep most of the time. They don't play loud music. You're not thinking about this. That's
well, they eat your friends, though.
You know, sometimes that can be used to your advantage as well.
This is true. You know, all right, here we go. Second holiday. June 12th, Missing Sock Memorial Day. Yeah, that it was kind of a fun holiday, but nobody gave a shit, I think.
Everybody's got a story in that one, though, you know.
I mean,
everybody has experience with that.
That is true. That is true. Monday. And it's very frustrating, but I don't find that I have that much of an attachment to one sock, personally.
I just think it's the drama and the story of man that goes into Monday, two socks. Tuesday, one sock.
So you're saying people just went around wearing one sock?
No, the other one is gone. Where did it go? Why? You know, what did that sock need that your foot couldn't provide? And just one of them. The other sock is happy. So maybe it's not you. You know? That's what I'm saying.
There you go. There you go. I'm sorry. I'm trying to go back and forth between the comments and the banners. Okay. Next one. This one I definitely can relate to. This may not be a holiday, but it's definitely a day. April 14th, National Check Under Your Couch Cushions Day.
Yeah.
you're paying your taxes. You need any money you can get, man. You're like looking under there. What have you found some interesting stuff under your couch cushions, Kevin, over the years?
Everyone has. Especially when you're room with a bear. My friend parts years later. It's cold.
Oh my god. Hey, by the way, if anybody right now watching, what is the weirdest thing you found under your couch cushion? Please tell us. And I'll try to look back. Remind me to look at that because I found some crazy. You find food under there sometimes, right?
Like a bowl or something. Like a bowl.
Condoms.
A bowl of cereal.
I don't know. What do you find? A bowl of cereal. Okay.
Yeah. That's pretty what I'm looking for. Something that has a little degree of difficulty.
Yeah. Okay. But I can see why it wouldn't be a holiday. It's just, you know. All right, so the next one. Take your poisonous snake to work day. Yeah, that's definitely a bad idea. Yeah, that could cause some lawsuits for sure.
I don't know. It's a holiday.
Who has, I guess some people do keep poisonous snakes, do they?
And I bet a lot of those people also have lists.
List. You
know, this is the day that could bring their list together with their poisonous snake.
Okay, you put the thoughts together, Kevin, because I'm not seeing a connection here.
Well, if you have a poisonous snake that you want to bring to work, you probably have a list of people you'd like to have encounter the poisonous snake.
Aha! Uh-huh. So you hide them under the couch cushion on April 14th for anybody who you want to off.
You just, you know. You bring it to work and you see what human resources has to do the next day.
Okay, this is a dead end. Let's go on. Next one. This is yours. You explain this one. Drink an unidentified liquid day, February 7th. Explain it.
Yeah, you know, it's a new year. How long has this been here? What does it smell like? Hey, you take a sip. Just that. So really, it's the story of every man.
So this is stuff you find in your fridge? This is or under the couch cushion?
If it passes the smell test, that's the next step.
Okay. All right, here we go. Here's another one. National Pet a Timberwolf Day, February 6th. Did you take a camping trip recently, Kevin? Because these animal ones that where people are going to die. Yeah, I don't know. That's a bad idea too. All right, let's go to I don't know if I want to do this next one. This next one's so stupid. All right, let's do it. Screw it.
Okay. Ready? No reason to stop now.
International Fart Week.
Yeah, it's dumb.
And apparently there's a holiday every day. And let's see, we got Silent but Deadly Sunday. Okay. Mouth Open Monday. Wet One Wednesday, Thunder Thursday, Flatulence Friday, and the final one, which is the worst one of all, Shart Saturday. All right, that's our segment for the failed holidays. I can totally see why they failed.
They definitely, yeah. Yeah, I guess a Whistling Wednesday is the third one in a month.
Whistling Wednesday, why don't you see, Kevin, you think of the good ones while you're here.
That's okay, Danny. It's you know, just-in-time delivery. It's the future.
Oh, man. So it's cold weather's coming.
I love it.
You do?
I do.
Is that why you put on the pounds?
It is. You know, you sleep with a bear, a couple extra layers of flesh could make the difference.
Dude, we're gonna have to get a bear. For the no, next show, we're gonna have to
stay with the green screen.
Well, we can do a green screen bear. We gotta have one.
That's I'm in.
It'll be Kevin's roommate. We'll have Kevin's
an actual, you know, bear of any sort out.
We'll just have him sitting behind you, going
like smoking a cigarette, bored.
Do they have? They probably do have bears smoking cigarettes.
You know, they. Probably...
Oh, speaking of all these animals. Dude, did you see the guy attacked by a cougar?
I did see the video.
He wasn't actually attacked. It's on everything.
It is. It's a hit.
It's a hit. Isn't that funny? The guy's a nobody. He gets chased by a cougar, and now he's famous.
that was 6 minutes.
It was crazy.
6 minutes. That's a long time.
So those of you guys who haven't seen the video, you got to look it up online. It's insane. You know what? I'm going to find it right now. It's a video of a cougar stalking a hiker. And, dude, it is insane. Okay, I'm just going to show you a clip of this. Of course, they got a commercial on it already, Kevin.
Project management and team collaboration. You're literally...
Okay. Hold on. Now, you guys got to see this. This is insane. Hold on. I got to share it. When I saw it, I was like, this is going to be insane. This is incredible. Okay, so we're going to share right here. Okay, here we go, folks. You ready for this? This is crazy. Watch this. Can you see it, Kevin?
I can.
Okay, here we go. Now, he sees that one run away. But he didn't see that one.
It appears he has now.
What's he saying? A chew? Is he sneezing? What's happening?
He's trying to get him to sign a waiver for the show.
He's a terrible cameraman.
Well, it's his first try.
But look at this. Look at this. Oh, my God. It's coming at him. Look at that. Look how big he is.
No. Yeah. Get the f*** away.
See that part there.
Get the f*** away.
Kevin, where's your bear when he needs him?
The lunging and the hissing.
This part's terrifying. It's coming up here.
Go. Go.
I thought he was going to attack him.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Go away.
Bad cat.
Go away. Please go away.
Do you think the cat's at his therapist talking about how he was indecisive?
I'll tell you, I would be in therapy after this, dude. Here comes the worst one. It's coming up. I want to show the really bad one. Where is it? Let me find it. Hold on.
Lunging?
Yeah, he lunged right at him. I'm looking. Hold on.
You're good. You're good, little kitty cat. Oh. Holy. What's up, dude? Oh.
Oh, dude, he follows him for 6 minutes. I'm trying to find the one.
Come on. Ah!
Where is it?
Roar!
He's like roaring at him.
No.
Do you know where it is?
I'm being scary.
Yeah.
I think it's
right here.
I think it's coming.
I think it's right here. He's hissing. You hear him hissing?
Yes, the hissing and the lunging.
There he is. Look at that.
Yes.
Oh, that is crazy. Okay. How crazy was that?
It's 6 minutes is an eternity. What happened to you, Danny? Have you been
there we
injured?
Go. Huh?
Have you been injured?
It's still playing. I'm trying to turn it off.
But it seems to be pushing you down. It's holding you down, man.
Oh, there we go. I got it.
All right.
Isn't that insane, dude?
It is. What's the most extreme animal you've ever seen in person? Is it a cougar on the Upper East Side?
Well, that would be you, Kevin.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, that would be you. No, I saw a bear once in the woods. And yeah, that was pretty scary. It was funny because I was walking with my buddy. We're taking a hike, and I go, "Oh my God, there's a bear!" And all of a sudden, my buddy who was right behind me, I turn around, he's gone. He just left me to be eaten by the bear. I mean, he was halfway down the mountain. I saw dust. Okay,
that's great.
Anyway,
not a good strategy either.
Anyway, we can talk more about this. We got to bring on our guest here. Because she's awesome, and I want everybody to meet her. She's got friggin' 20 degrees, and she's like a world speaker. She was Miss International India. She's trying to make the world better, and she's amazing. Please welcome Preeti. And Preeti, your last name, I always mess it up. Give me your last. Say your last name.
Namaste, everyone. Namaste, Danny and Kevin.
Hi.
Nice to be on your show. My last name is Upala.
Upala.
Yes.
See, I'm never good at pronouncing names. I'm glad somebody sent me, and I've known you for a while.
Yes.
And I still mispronounce your first names occasionally. So.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm so good. I got a blow dry just for you.
Did you? Oh, wow. I feel special. I do. I feel special.
I'm
Kevin, did you give me a blow dry today? I don't think he did. Kevin's hair is flat. Thanks, Kevin. Kevin, you don't care. She cares about me. So how has this whole now you do film and why don't you explain a little bit about yourself, how we met at a party, right?
I don't even remember which party. Must have been a while back.
Wasn't it at John Lennon's house? The old John
Lennon?
No,
that was when we reconnected. But where did we first meet, or was that where we first met in person?
That's where we first met in person.
Okay. So we've been Facebook friends for years, I think.
Yeah.
And then we were invited to the John Lennon's old house, I guess. And there was the day of the football final, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. I totally forgot about that.
And it's a great game, awesome game, right? And then so you have a good memory, and you just said, "I know you," this and that, and then it all sort of came together. That was months ago, I think.
Now this picture up in the corner, that's from the house, because they had the Oscars.
Wow, that's a great, they have a beautiful pool, a very amazing garden outside, just fantastic views, really special place.
Did they open the pool?
I don't know about that, but when we went at that game night, I guess, I took a lot of photos outside, and it was just like they had sunbeds and everything. It was really, really nice.
Yeah. It's a beautiful place. It was really cool to hold real Oscars in your hands. You know, it's just like, I'm going to have one of these. I'm going to have one for this show, probably, actually.
So I'll tell you a bit about my background, because it's very diverse. It's kind of not normal. Very.
I didn't know where to start, to be honest with you.
That's
done so much.
I'm truly a global citizen. I was born in the Middle East. I was born in Dubai, and I live all around the Middle East. Until my family moved to Europe, briefly, we were in Paris for a short while, and then they moved to Australia, where we were there for a very long time. And
now
then
how old were you?
I was 14 when I moved to Sydney.
Oh, wow. Okay.
14, 15, I think. And then I went to university in Sydney. I was very young. I was only 16 when I started university. So I was such a baby. And I got my degree. I started working as an investment banker in the corporate world, did all of that. It wasn't my purpose. I was very unfulfilled. I started my spiritual journey at the same time. But long story short, I gave up the corporate world, and I realized that I should be on the global stage and using my gifts to affect the world at large. So I made a decision to go for it. And no sooner had I made that decision in my heart, all the doors opened. And before I knew it, I was acting. I was, I was winning these beauty titles everywhere. And I'm a professional salsa dancer as well. But then I won a scholarship to study acting and film in New York. And when that came through, I knew that my life was going to change and that I had to just take the plunge. So I bought a one-way ticket from Sydney to LA, never been to America before. And I just bought a little suitcase, and I just came with nothing in my mind, but just the conviction that I was in the right place at the right time. And I knew I had what it takes. And I knew that I was going to make a difference in the world. I knew it was going to work out. So I came, and it's been a magical journey since that first day. It's been, every day is magical for me, because I expect magic. And the world doesn't disappoint, I've had quite a crazy life. I've been to 100 countries, traveled a lot. So now I work in film, of course, but I do other things too. I speak around the world. I am writing a book. I write as well, both, journalistic work as well as essays and things like that. But so the areas of my expertise are politics, religion, and spirituality.
All the things we can't talk about.
Controversial topics,
Now, I want to go back to one thing you said, and I really agree with this about magic.
Yes.
When you have a belief or a conviction, It's amazing sometimes when you're in a good mood and you feel the flow and you feel the magic, amazing things happen. Like when I was dating my ex-wife, we were in love and we were walking around the whole night. People were just giving us things. We went into the liquor store and they gave it, the guy behind the counter goes, "You guys are in love. Here, take a bottle of wine. Take a bottle of wine." We got in a cab and we're drunk and I'm singing, doing stupid stuff. We get to my apartment and as we're getting out, I'm handing the driver the money. He goes, no, I'm not taking your money. You guys are in love. I'm not taking your money.
So this is my life every day, by the way.
You're also a lot hotter than me. So
I think they're looking for something in return. But no, but really, I've been to 100 countries and no matter where I've gone, people have just, they felt like they know me. They feel connected to me. And mm-hmm. I've found random acts of generosity in all of the 100 countries. And I think what people want to do, what I've learned is no matter where you go in the world, we're all the same. We're all humans. We all want to be loved. We want to be understood. We want to be respected. We want to value. We want to be valued. We want to matter. That's all.
Yep.
Everything else is just an illusion. So I think when people see someone like myself, I'm very open and engaging to just strangers. You know, I think they feel comfortable around me, and they open up and they invite me into their life, into their world. They open. It's so amazing. It's very touching, you know, and every country has its own flavor of how they do these things. It's quite a trip.
What's your favorite country? Or what country did you have your best time visiting?
Thailand.
Really?
Yes, you must go there. You must go to Thailand if you get a chance. Incredible country. Very, very spiritual and good people, great food. A lot of warmth, I think. And
okay.
You know, also, yes, if you're into spirituality, they have a lot of temples there and a good culture. But just the land of the smiling, they're always smiling no matter, they have nothing maybe, but I think there's a lot of humility and humanity that I see there. I mean, India is very similar too, but Thailand is a very open country in many ways, you know. So, but if you're a guy, I mean, that's the place to go. It's like the paradise for men, especially losers who can't get laid, you know.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but I've heard from friends who've gone there, they like win and throw themselves at Americans. That's what I've heard.
It's not that they throw themselves at Americans. Prostitution is legal there. So people are looking to be paid, but it's cheap. So you can get things, you know, for nothing. And at the end of the night, they lower their prices, man. They come down. Like in the beginning, they're kind of pricey. I've heard conversations where some firstly, you don't know if it's a girl or a guy. My hint is if the woman is stunning, it's a dude. If she looks like shit, it's a woman, you know. Because these are like Thai boys, right? So they're men who become women just for this profession. And so they'll come up to you early in the evening and they're expensive. And I've heard conversations where like American tourists are like, that's expensive, you know. And then at 4 a.m. it's like slashed to like 10%, man. It's like they're just giving stuff away at that point. I see the same people, you know, like at 4 a.m. like, oh my God. And sometimes I feel like saying, you do know that's a dude, right? But they don't care. They're drunk off their face. They just want to do. They just want to put their tongue down someone's throat, and they don't care if there's an Adam's apple there or not. So it's crazy. It's a real trip.
I'm a very heterosexual guy, so I'd be afraid to make the mistake. I think I'd have to wear a shirt that said balls only, no balls. No balls.
Well, the trick is, the trick used to be check for the Adam's apple, but now they shave it. So now the trick is look at their feet.
Oh, so they
got big feet, if it's a dude, and the women have small feet. So yeah.
Okay. Good. Move along, Sasquatch.
It's so funny. Oh my God. It's like, But I love it because you have the sacred and the profane next to each other. You know, you have spirituality and you got, you know, you got people honoring their, you got celibate monks and prostitutes in the, on this, sitting next to each other on a train or something like that. So I think the dichotomy of all of that, I find that very fascinating.
Yeah, sure. No, that is fascinating. So it's kind of, you think it's because of there's no restrictions on whatever you want to do?
No, it's a very poor country, and their government realized a long time ago that tourism is their greatest export, and tourism wasn't enough. There's a lot, it's very poor, and all these girls are, they come from the village, you know, and to support their family back home, they come to the big cities, and unless you have a degree or real skills, there's not much you can do. So they started getting into this whole, prostitute, whatever you want to call it, you know, and then it became rampant. So now I think the government realized, well, we can't stop it, we can't crack it down, so let's just legalize it. And then they realized that it worked, a charm, and then they got, it's the most visited city in the world, you know, Bangkok is their capital.
It's a perfect name too, Bangkok.
It's my favorite city. It's amazing. Amazing.
That's very cool. Wow. So you're very liberal on things like that.
Liberal isn't the word. I think I'm all about, you got to respect, I think, people's choices. You know, when you travel, you see people in circumstances and you realize that a lot of times they're doing it out of necessity and compulsion, you know, and I think sometimes in the West, we want to judge people. But then when you go there and you spend time in other countries, you realize that it's very unfortunate. And everybody is doing their best. And so we stop judging. I think I stopped judging after traveling so much, you know, and you learn to respect humanity in all of its forms. And then you realize, how are we better than them in many ways? You know, you want to talk about crime or sexual assault. America has worse numbers than anywhere else in the world, you know, and this is a developed superpower that shouldn't have those kind of numbers. So it really sort of humbles you, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. So Kevin, I'm sensing a pretty woman scenario for you in Thailand.
Yes, they will like you. You look like a bear.
I think just picture you carrying a bear in Thailand, like a small bear, shaved Adam's apple.
No.
You know, it's funny. You guys have been talking about bears all day. Well, my roommate is a bear.
What? What are you talking about? Oh, right. Bring it close. There you go. Now. You send me a picture of this. You love this bear.
I know, he's my soulmate.
that's crazy. So tell me about this bear. What's the significance? How did you?
Oh, it's actually a present from an ex, and it was sent from Barbados. So,
okay.
I guess he's a Barbados. He's an island baby, you know.
Barbados.
And he came in the mail because I was getting I had to get 3 shots in one day for my green card medical assessment, and I had to go get them all in the same day. And and these are painful injections. He sent that to me just to console me, and it worked because I mean, those 3 shots hurt a lot. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know, man. I used to have bears as a kid, little, you know, bears. I don't happen to have any now. I have a big pillow that I like to hold. Kevin,
but you know there's a number of adults, that grown adults, even grown men who have stuffed toys. You'll be surprised. It's a big number.
Really?
It's a big number. It's more than 25% of adults. They don't talk about it, but I think it symbolizes comfort and non-judgment. And compassion, unconditional love, you know.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But you can get that from a puppy too.
No, but you don't have to take care of the bear.
That's true.
You have
that's
to take true. Care of the puppy. That's the difference.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. I just can't imagine an American guy going, yeah, I'm just going to spend some time at home with my teddy bear and just kick and watch the game.
You know? They're spending time with something else, you know. So.
Oh, right. Man, you know a lot about this.
Hey, I'm a spiritual leader and spiritual ambassador, you know.
Tell me about that.
But also, I think sexuality is spiritual. It is sacred. It's very much a part of life and death, the cycle of life and death. So, I mean, I want to write a book on sacred sexuality soon. And I want to talk about how it, through thousands of years, it's always been a beautiful thing, something that was celebrated across civilizations. And now it's shunned and there's such a taboo around it, but it's the most human thing is your sexuality, is that union, the real union between yourself and source. You know, That's really what it is. And that's why when you look at the tantra or sacred sexuality, it's a union with God through another partner or through intimacy, through the yoga of that, you know. That's really what sexuality is about. But in here in the West, they have their 5 minutes of crap sex, you know. I'm like, guys, you don't know what you're missing out on. But you have to go to the ancient wisdoms, you know, and look at the Kama Sutra and see what they're talking about.
That's funny.
It stood the test of time.
Yes, 5,000-6,000 years, baby, you know.
What's funny is throughout this whole conversation, Kevin's sitting there in the back in the dark like.
Why? No, why? Is he stunned? Maybe he didn't expect me to say the things I'm saying. I don't know.
Maybe he's fulfilling himself right now. I don't know.
I'm mentally shopping for a bear.
Mentally shopping for a bear. So you do talks around the world, right?
Yes. So I'm very passionate about this. I think my real gift in the world is actually my voice. And whether it's speaking or writing or expressing myself, I have an ability to touch the masses and you know, affect people at large, I think. So I have to make sure that I get the message right, because I can affect people, large groups. And, you know, most people are terrified of public speaking, but I'm not, even though I'm very introverted, extremely introverted, reserved person. However, you put me on a stage with a mic and there's 10,000 people, I'm like, yes, you know, because I feel like I'm speaking to one person. It's never 10,000 people. I'm having a very intimate exchange with the audience, to me, who is one person, you know. So it kind of works for me. But I speak, I get asked to speak on many things. I do a lot of political talks, but then I also do religion. But I like the spiritual bit and the ones on culture and dharma, which is purpose, because that's uplifting. You know, politics is very divisive.
Yeah, it is.
And religion is even more divisive, but then spirituality brings people together.
So that's why I love that, because I love you said that, because every time you try to take a side in anything, whenever people get together in a group and say their way is the only way, that's just, to me, that's the problem with the world.
Yes. You know what I mean?
We're all.
And you see that in politics, but you see that more in religion. Anytime a religion says, I'm the only truth in the world, run.
Yep.
Trust me, if you were the real truth in the world, you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't have to say that, because it would be evident.
Yes.
Self-evident. So when I look at organized religion, monotheistic, rigid religions, each of them claims, I'm the truth, I'm the only truth. If you don't follow my truth, you're a bad person. And I think in some cases, they're like, if you don't follow the truth, we can get rid of you in some way, you know. So I like dharmic faiths, which are all about there is no one truth, you know. There are many, the wise call it by many names, there are many paths, your path can get you there too. So that's the kind of philosophy that I come from. And they look at the world as one big family, And we are so interconnected energetically anyways, you know. So I am you, you are me, you know.
Yep.
You are just a mirror.
I was always drawn to that way of thinking myself, because I just remember, you know, when I was younger and talking about religion, and people were like, well, you're going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus and all this, because I was raised Catholic, all that kind of stuff. And I started thinking to myself, well, what about the natives in Africa who've never heard of him? You're telling me that these people are going to hell just because they've never heard of him. I didn't buy into it. You know what I mean? I always felt religion is a personal thing. It should be a one-on-one thing. You know what
I mean? It's an intimate, it's your personal journey to self-actualization. It's a relationship between you and the divine. And if the divine happens to be an old man in the sky, that's fine. If the divine is cosmic consciousness, it's okay. If the divine is a woman, if she's a goddess, it's totally okay. It's funny because later tonight I have an interview where I'm going to be interviewed by this organization, and they're doing celebrating this incredible festival called Navaratri, which is the 9 nights of worship, of goddess worship. So for 9 days they worship, each day is dedicated to a different goddess, and there are 9 of them, and they wanted to interview a different person each day for the goddess that they think that they personify. So they picked me for Lakshmi, I think, who is the goddess of wealth and prosperity and good luck and good fortune. So I'm so blessed. So I'm so excited that I can speak on what goddess energy is about and what femininity is about, all of that good stuff, you know. So, but I find that that's a beautiful way to look at life. And you're supposed to look at every woman like a goddess and uphold her, you know.
Right. No, I don't know, man. I'm glad you're talking about all this, because people need to hear this. People need to think this way. You know, what's hilarious to me, it's not hilarious, it's kind of sad, is that if you look around the world, everybody's fighting over these words on Facebook and these beliefs and all this kind of stuff. Whereas if you just turn it off, turn it all off, turn the news off, turn and look at the people you're talking to, you know, your circle of influence, the people around you, if you just focus on them and be good to them and don't talk about all that other shit, the world would be great. But it's we're constantly being bombarded with crap, and people are fighting over it. And it's not even real, because if it was off the TV, if they weren't on the TV or Facebook, they wouldn't even know what was happening. Their lives would be fine. Right.
I think there is a growing intolerance that I find across the board globally. The space to disagree has shrunk. And, you know, people have a dissenting voice on something. They are hounded. They're they're bombarded with hate and venom. And suddenly they become the bad guy, you know. I mean, when I talk about politics, and I'm a very independent person politically, but, you know, I will speak on some issue and I'm talking about facts and data and all of that. And people who don't like what I'm saying, they try to attack me personally instead of the topic that I'm talking about. So it's so sad. I think the political discussions have, you know, and all religious discussions too, by the way, which are so divisive. And now we are attacking each other. We are attacking each other's characters. It's very sad. And I see things only getting worse, because this is Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is literally the dark ages. You know, it's the time when there is no light. And that's the cycle of the earth that we are in right now, according to Vedic philosophy. After the Kali Yuga, after the dark age, is the age of the light. But we are not there yet. And I think now is the darkest night of the soul. It's
another 75 years.
It's going to get really bad before it gets better. And we haven't hit bottom yet. So it's going to get very, very nasty, I think, in the next decade or so.
Yeah, yeah. And Kevin's expression says it all.
I said 75 more years. That's it. Another 75 years, things will turn right around.
I think we can turn it around. I think we can turn it around. That's one of the reasons on this show I decided, because, you know, all these talk shows are doing politics, and people need a break. People need a break from it all. I don't want to make fun of these guys. I don't even care about this right now. I want this to be a break for everyone. Have fun, you know, have people like yourself on here, enlighten some people, and, you know, maybe make their day better. Just, you know, if you think about, you know, do you know Steve Martin? Did you know he did stand up?
Yeah, I love him. Yeah.
Okay. So back in the 70s, while all the other comedians were talking about the war and talking about the crime and all the problems, Steve Martin was just doing stupid shit like King Tut, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, he became, by the way, a lot of people might not know this, he was the first comedian to fill a rock arena.
Wow.
Yeah.
The white suit.
Yep. And so I want this. Steve Martin's always been an influence on me. I told him that. And I actually did. I met him once. And he didn't care at all, but I told him anyway.
He seems like a really nice guy.
he's a really cool guy, actually. It was funny because the New York Times was doing an interview, and my mother-in-law at the time had got me in there with my wife at the time. And we were sitting, yeah, there was only like 150 people there. It was crazy. And then there was microphones on each side, and they gave a certain period of time where you could ask Steve Martin a question. Or say something, you know. And so I'm up there and I'm waiting. I'm like, okay, I got a plan. Steve, you're one of my biggest influences, and I'm a comedian, and I always think about you, and not in bed, but I think about you when I'm working on material and, you know, stuff like that. And I'm all ready to say it, right? And all of a sudden I hear across at the other microphone, I hear a guy go, yes, Steve, I'm a comedian, and you're one of my favorite comedians, and I followed you, and I'm next.
That happens to the best of us.
You know? Yeah. So I'm listening to him and I'm next. So I don't have any time to make up a whole new thing.
You have
and
to think on this
everything point. That I said. And the worst part about it was I knew the guy, Scott Blakeman. I know you, dude. I know you did that on purpose.
He was in your mind.
So what happened was, I got like seconds and I'm sweating. I'm like, oh my God, my idol. And I don't have it. It was too late. I just said, you know what, Steve, he stole my line. I was going to say all that stuff. I was going to say it. You are one of my biggest influences. Every time someone asks me, where are your influences? I always say Steve Martin right at the top of the list. And he goes, let's test that out. Steve Martin says this and he goes, excuse me, sir. If I were to ask you, who is the greatest comedian of all time? Who is your biggest influence? Who would you say? And I go, George Carlin. He goes,
I love George, but that's so funny.
He set me up for it. It was beautiful. He's like this. He's waiting.
I love it. And he knew it was coming too. Yeah.
Yes. And he goes, damn it. It was awesome. It was awesome.
No, but you're so right. That's why I take the time to speak on these other issues as much as I can. And I'm in demand. Like this COVID thing for me, I've never been busier. I've been more busy in the last 3 months than I have probably in the last 3 years put together. And I'm a pretty active person. I do a lot, but of the stuff that I've accomplished, I've done like, I think 100 interviews and media engagements in, you know, last few months alone, and I'm writing my book. I've written tons of pieces that have traveled, got syndicated, and literally hundreds of publications picked them up and stuff. And I'm on national news, this and that and the other around the world. So it's been really amazing, but I'm just being myself. I'm trying to be a sane voice. And this is ironically a time when I've gotten more traction. I'm being heard. And all the bullshit is gone. All the foo-foo reality crap is gone. And nobody cares about them anymore. They want to know about love and faith and hope and something real, you know. So that's where I think my voice is heard more. And I've people who supporters, fans, whatever you want to call it, they've gone up 10 times, you know, and they're real. Now they're creating fan club pages for me on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. So I love it. That's great.
Well, you're great. You're great. And Kevin's expression says it all yet again.
That is great. It does.
That's the key. That's the key. I want to do a segment with you. You want to do a segment?
Let's do it.
I've never done a segment with a guest yet. So this will be fun. This is a new segment that we came up with. Carrie, one of our writers, came up with the idea. And Steve White and Carrie Rappaport are our writers aside from Kevin and me. And let's see. Let's do this. All right. You ready? Here we go. Holidays. So as you can tell, I did. I've done voiceovers. Oh wait, we did that one already, Kevin.
You did that segment already. The bear day and all of that. Yeah.
It's your fault, Kevin. Get me on track here, man.
Twice in one show, Danny.
I did that voice though. I'm proud of that. Okay, this is the one we're gonna do.
Okay.
Trick or Texas.
Now, we did another one last time. It was Faker, Florida. So we decided we wanted to do a different state this time.
Okay.
And now, these are news stories. Some of them are true, and some of them are fake. And you got to guess what they are. And you guys can both guess, but obviously, okay. Kevin, you know, let her talk. Okay, Kevin?
So I have to guess. Okay. Do I have to guess whether it's true or not, or do I have to guess the story itself?
No, you just got to guess if it's trick. Or Texas.
Or Texas. Like if it's an incident that happened in Texas, or if it's just made up a joke.
Exactly. What's that, Kevin?
Exactly.
Thank
you. Let's do it. Texas is a funny state, so let's see.
Okay, here we go. Number one. A woman unwrapped. Okay, there's a typo there already. A woman unwrapped. Wow, there's a lot of typos. I didn't have a lot of time to work on this today. A woman unwrapped a Nature Valley granola bar. She not only found the bar inside, but also a package of cocaine. Is that trick or is it Texas?
I think it's a trick. Come on. There's no way that Nature Valley could screw up like that.
Kevin, what do you think?
I think it happened in Texas, and I think that little hike took a lot longer than originally planned.
Or was it much faster? Both. She's like, oh, yeah, this is a fast hike.
First energetic and then despondent.
All right, the answer. Texas. A woman actually got an order of Nature Valley granola with a packet with dollar signs on it. Thinking it was a prize, she called General Mills, who told her to call the police, and they confirmed it was cocaine.
Oh, my God. How did that happen?
Yes, it happened. And here's an actual picture. There it is.
Wow. That's a mistake gone bad.
See the little cocaine packet there? She opened it up.
She should sue the company for psychological distress, you know.
for a lifelong supply of cocaine.
Not only that, but somebody who worked at the Nature Valley factory had a different Friday night than originally planned.
All right, cool. All right, that's the first one. Here we go. We got it. Number two. Wait a minute. I want to make sure I got it right before I do this. Okay. A young man, convinced he was a vampire, broke into a woman's home and bit her. It's supposed to say noting that he'd been alive for over 500 years. He exclaimed, I need to feed. Is that trick or is that Texas?
That's Texas.
You think so?
It could have happened anywhere. It's not the first time that's happened.
I'm going to agree. People are into that vampire stuff. They take it very seriously.
It's a good line.
All right. Let's see. Here we go. Texas. A 19-year-old self-proclaimed Texas vampire climbed through the woman's window. He even asked the Texas police to restrain him so he wouldn't attack them.
Wow.
Oh, don't you just want to live there?
For 400 years.
All right, here's the next one. Here we go. In Killeen, Texas, the owner of an antique shop got a call in the middle of the night that someone had broken into his store. Had been broken. Maybe that sounds like Texas, actually. Had been broken. That's not a typo. That's real. After reviewing, he discovered the intruder was actually a large bull. Is that trick or is it Texas?
Look, animals break into stores all around the world. So, I think it could happen. Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to say trick. Like, I think it probably happened, but it's not news.
But I think you're right. It's possible, but this story is maybe a trick.
Is that your final answer?
That's a trick.
Okay. Trick!
Yay!
You wouldn't believe a story about a bull in a china shop.
That's so funny. But these things have happened. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I saw a video of a ram. He was looking at himself in the mirror. In the window. And he's looking. He's like getting threatening. All of a sudden he goes, and it shatters.
Wow.
And there was a ram next to him. And they both were like, oh, shit. And they ran off. It was hilarious. Okay.
Did they take any watches from the window before they ran off?
Right. Yes, because rams love watches. Okay, next one. A San Antonio aquarium reported that a shark had been stolen by thieves who disguised it as a baby. Trick or Texas?
Definitely a trick. That's not possible.
Kevin?
I'm going to say that that's Texas. And I'm going to say that they did a little exploring in the saloon beforehand. And I think it happened.
How do you think they got the shark, though, Kevin?
Well, I think there was a blanket involved. All right. A blanket and perhaps a short.
Wow.
Texas. Okay. A shark had been swimming in an open petting pool. In security footage, the thieves grabbed the shark by the tail, put it in a bucket, and wrap it in a blanket. And shove it into a baby stroller. That really happened. And we have a picture of this. Hold on. We have a picture. That's the petting. That's the petting pool that they got it from. I had the picture of the shark, but I don't know what I do with it. But it was just, it was one of those little sand shark type things. So, yeah, that's the pool. That's where they got it from.
That's all great. Right. You know, you could use that segment again in Fake or Flintstones.
And what?
Fake or Flintstones? Like, is it fake or did it happen on the Flintstones?
Oh, fake or Flint. Why don't we talk about the writing during the writers' meeting, Kevin? Okay.
I can see Bonnie doing that. That's all.
Don't launch into these terrible ideas right on the air, please. Please. Okay. I'm trying to make a good show. Here we go.
I think we got so close.
Right? You just ruined it. It was a perfect show. All right, here we go. We got one more. Two Texas men, one dressed in a bull costume, allegedly tried to burn down an ex-boyfriend's house with spaghetti sauce. Trick or Texas? I know, it doesn't even make sense.
How can you burn someone's house down with spaghetti sauce? What, he set the spaghetti sauce on fire?
I don't know. I think they were on acid or something.
You know what? I think it's Texas.
What do you think, Kevin?
I got to say trick. It's too crazy. It's crazy.
So you don't think it happened
there
at all?
There are so many liquids you should try before you get the spaghetti sauce.
All right. So we should have tallied how many did you guys get right?
Maybe we're even. I don't know. Maybe he right. got, I don't know.
No, you won.
So you say it's real. Kevin says it's not. Guess what? You're both right. Trick. It happened in Florida.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Wow.
Right? Isn't that crazy?
There's a lot of loonies out there, you know.
You think?
There's a lot of crazy people. Spirituality is a journey, and sex is popular. That's what
I like that.
That's what we get out of the show.
Yeah. Whether you got to shave an Adam's apple or have a boring little affair that doesn't last very long right here at home, it's still popular. No matter what type of a ribbon you put on it, people are interested.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for those final words for the show. Really, really appreciate the profundity of them. I'm glad I said that word right.
Profundity. That's an interesting word. You know, it doesn't sound very sophisticated, but it is. Yeah.
Thank you. I feel sophisticated for having it popping in my head. I do. I really do. So, Preeti, where can people find you?
I'm all over the social media. I'm very active. So, Twitter, I'm the Preeti Experience. Twitter, the Preeti Effect. YouTube, the Preeti Experience. And Facebook, my name, but also I have an official fan page with, I think, 105,000 followers. So it's a big group. Wow. So please join me. Please Google me for my work. I'm all over. You can find my videos, interviews, and all of my writing is spread around various outlets. Please reach out to me. I'm very, I love to hear from people who find me on random interviews and so on. And if you have questions or if you want to share feedback or, discussions, whatever, I'm really open and I love to just kind of engage with people. So please do that.
That's great. And if you guys don't remember it, you can always follow us on YouTube. Just find Danny McDermott on YouTube. And if you want, this video will be, it'll be recorded. So it'll be on YouTube for you to share, show people, please show people. Please donate. We have the Venmo and the PayPal there because we're getting sponsors soon. I'd like to thank Bill Victor, Ericon, Sabine Marketing and Promotions, our producers, Robert Drummond and Angela Joseph. Thank you guys for this. Preeti, let's definitely stay in touch. Talk yes. after. In fact, stay on after the show. We can talk okay. for a few minutes. And guys, I want to thank you guys for the first technically decent show without being flawed. Say goodbye to her teddy bear, folks. All right, guys. Thank you so much. And tell your friends, share, donate, check it out. I'm going to keep that banner on there for the end. Thank you.
Good night.
It's the Dennis Show. It's the